let no man despise thy youth. For our study this hour, I invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to look at a few passages at this time frame that will help us understand and maybe learn some good lessons from the statement of that's made here in verse number 12 that has to do with the young man Timothy. We see how that there it says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. You know, Timothy is one of the most well-known characters in the Bible. Most people, when you talk about Bible people and great Bible people, Timothy's name usually comes up because Timothy is one that really exhibits great faith, zeal. He demonstrates faithfulness and shows his faith to God. Paul called him my own son in the faith, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 2. He also called him my dearly beloved son in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 2. His father was a Greek. His mother was a Jewish that believed, Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. We know his background somewhat because of things that are said later, as in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. It speaks there about how from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. When we look at Timothy in the context of our study today, there are several things that stand out. If we go back and look in the book of Acts and study some things about Timothy in the book of Acts, we find that this young man took on some difficult works. You remember how that on that second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul, Silas, and Timothy, after Timothy's conversion, they had come to the Aegean Sea there at Troas. The Macedonian call came and they crossed the Aegean Sea. They began to establish congregations there in that area. And you'll remember in Acts chapter 16, the trouble and the problems that Paul had with Silas and others at Philippi, how they were put in jail, how that there was persecution upon them because of their preaching and teaching the gospel of Christ, how that they went down then to Thessalonica. The church was established there, and trouble came to them once and again. And then they went to Berea, and then they came down to Athens. And in Athens, Paul wrote back to those at Thessalonica, and he said, you know, I was concerned about you, so I sent Timothy back to find about your welfare, to know how things were going with you there. If you come back over to chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we see the situation and understand how that Paul sends Timothy back. And I just want you to notice, and verse number 1, he says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. Then he says in verse 4, what's this? He says, for verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it has come to pass, and you know. Now, my point is, talking about hard assignments. Timothy had been with Paul and Silas and those others at Philippi, at Thessalonica, at Berea, at Athens. Paul says, I couldn't forbear anymore. I wanted to know of your welfare, so I sent Timothy back. What did he go back to? To the church, that young church. But he went back to the area where there was great persecution. Paul had so much faith in this young man that he sent him back to an area where there was trials and tribulations and difficulties. And Timothy went and he carried out and accomplished what Paul wanted him to do. Because we find then in verse number 6 of that reading that Timothy had come back and Paul rejoiced that those at Thessalonica were maintaining and holding on to their faith. But I wonder, as I read about that, I wonder what would happen if we were in a place where there had been trials and tribulations and great difficulties, persecutions. And we had gone from there, and a short time later, someone comes to us and says, I want you to go back up there and check on them. You know, we might say, well, isn't there somebody else? Send somebody that they have not seen. Send someone that they do not know. But the Bible says Timothy went back, and he came back with that good report. And also we need to keep in mind that this young man was going and he was teaching those who were of older age, more mature people. And many times, you know how that goes. A young man goes into an area and he goes and begins to teach and he begins to tell them they need to change their lifestyles. Here's a young boy or a young man coming with that kind of message to older people. That's a difficult task as well. And as we look into our text, as we get into our study, that will play a part in the idea of let no man despise thy youth. Because he was a young man going into some difficult areas. You know, we need to learn from younger teachers. You know, sometimes I hear, have heard, people say, well, now he's still wet behind the ears. And so we dismiss them because they're young. But you know, if a person comes to us with truth, if a person comes to us with that which is right, we ought to listen. And those of us who are older, those of us who have been preaching for several years now, we need to give aid and comfort and help to those younger men. In our study today, we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. If we were going to outline this chapter, verses 1 through 6 would deal with as Paul tells Timothy to remind them of the apostasy that would be coming. In verses 7 through 11, he's telling him, do not give yourself over to things that are contrary to truth. And then there in verses 12 through 16, there is some personal conduct that he speaks about. You notice there in that second part, that second section, and verses 7 through 11, well, when he says, do not give over to things that are contrary to truth. If you look there at verse number 7, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. And he said just prior to that, that there's going to be an apostasy. Look at verse 6. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. What did he talk about? Those seducing spirits that might come. Those that might carry them away from the truth. So you see what I'm saying and trying to paint a picture for you is that Timothy went into areas that were difficult. Went into areas when he was saying to them, you need to be careful. You need to watch for the apostasy. In fact, as he went back to Thessalonica, he had gone there and there was a great problem. Paul wrote those two books because there was a misunderstanding about the second coming of Christ. And there was a lot of confusion in that area about those things. In fact, when you get into the 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 6, Paul says you need to withdraw from those who are walking disorderly. They are not working anymore. They have sat down. Why had they sat down? Because they didn't understand the second coming of Christ. And they become busybodies. That would be a difficult task for anyone. But he was asked of a young man named Timothy. For our study, I want you to look with me now, and we're not going to read the entirety of this for time's sake, but let's look at verse number 12 together. Because in verse number 12, and we'll add these other verses as we come to them, but in verse number 12 it says, let no man despise thy youth, But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now let's just take that first section, and what I would like to do for our first point is for us to define a couple of terms. Let's look at that word despise. He says there, let no man despise thy youth. Well, what does the word despise mean? Most of the time when we think about the word despise, we have the idea of hating, of something that we really, really don't like at all. The only word I can put there is to hate. But the word here in this means to think little or nothing of. Let no man think little of you because of your age, because of your youth. Now, Paul told Timothy to act in such a way in respect to his youth. Act in such a way so that others would see him and respect him even though he was a young man. Paul had written to the church at Corinth saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 10 and 11, here it says, now if Theophilus come unto you, see that ye may be with you, that he may be with you without fear, for what he worketh for the Lord, as I also do. Now watch what he says. Let no man despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. What did he say to the church at Corinth concerning Timothy? He says, Don't despise him. Do not let any man therefore despise him. Don't anyone look down upon him because of his age. You remember we said a moment ago, sometimes if we're not careful, we have a tendency to say, well, what does he know? He's so young. But you understand if a person comes, he has zeal, he has truth, and he's trying to do that, we ought to be trying to support, to try to help, to try to develop that young man. You know, if the brethren had looked down upon Timothy, his evangelistic effort would have suffered greatly. So what is Paul saying to Timothy? He's saying to him, conduct yourself in such a way that nobody will ever look down upon you because you are a young man. In other words, don't you go in there acting like you are the only one there. Don't go in there acting like you are the center of all attention. Go in there and make sure that you conduct yourself in such a way that people will not look down upon you because of your age. Let's look at another phrase or another word, the word youth. In the Roman way of thinking, there were three age groups. Birth to 18 was childhood. 18 to about 40 was youth. Above 40 and to death was old age. Most people that I've read consider Timothy to be around 35 years old when this was penned. I don't know. I don't know the age. But I know that he was of the age that Paul would refer to him as a youth. Let no man despise thy youth. Now, the idea here is you need to know what is truth. You need to know how to speak that truth, and you must conduct yourself so as to demonstrate that truth. Now, watch what we've just said. Let no man despise thy youth. How do you do that? By making sure you're speaking truth, you're speaking in a right way, and you're conducting yourself according to the truth. And no one ought to ever look down on anyone that's teaching truth in a proper way out of love and concern for the lost souls and is demonstrating in his life what he's teaching. What more could be asked from anyone? Paul is simply saying to this young man Timothy, make sure that that's the case. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9, notice what is stated here by the Apostle Paul. He says, these things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. What did he say? What you've learned, what you've seen, what you've heard, do that, and the God of peace will be with you. So when we come back to this first point, and looking at the statement there, the first part of verse 12, which says, let no man despise thy youth, Paul is saying to him, you conduct yourself in such a way that people will not have anything worthwhile or of any credit to say against you. In other words, we're saying, he told Timothy, make sure you conduct yourself in a right way. Teach the truth. Teach it with the right kind of wording, the right frame of mind, not as haughtiness. And then demonstrate to others exactly what you're saying. And that brings us to that second point out of verse number 12. Not only did he say, let no man despise thy youth, he says, but be thou an example of the believer. Now, the word example is a word that means a stamp, a form, a manner, a pattern, a model after which a thing is fashioned. Now, think about that. Here he said, let no man despise thy youth. Well, we've already talked about what that means. It means you go in there and you conduct yourself as a Christian young man, teaching truth in the right attitude, the right frame of mind, and demonstrating it, and then you make sure that you are an example to the Christians. Now, there is some little bit of discussion among some of the Bible scholars, the commentators, about, some says to the believer and some says of the believer. Some say it means you demonstrate Christianity, what a Christian is to the people around you. And some say it means you be an example to those who are believers. And I really think it doesn't matter which one, but I believe in the context. He is saying, you go and you let those men not despise your youth, but you be an example to those Christians that you're around. Why is that? Because you've got to deliver the message. You've got to go and you've got to preach the truth. As we said, he would go back to places that had already been established. Well, what was he going to do? He was going to go in. He was going to conduct himself in a Christian way, teaching the truth in the right way, and then he was going to exhibit exactly what he was talking about. Now, in Philippians 3, verse 17, again, we look at that. He says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. What is the exhortation? To mark. You know, and I'm kind of a country person. Every time I read that, I think about a mark. You know, making a mark on someone. And you know, I don't think that's very far from what we're talking about here. You note them. You look at them. And you see what they are. You note that individual. You make sure and see that they're doing what they ought to. And then you try to walk as they're walking, as they walk after Christ. That's what Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul did not say, you be a follower of me. He said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Daddies, we ought to be saying to our little children, to our grandchildren, you follow me, not because I want you to follow me, but because I'm going to follow Christ. And we ought to make marks on the earth that our grandchildren and our children can see so they do not get confused how we're walking. Far too many times I hear people say, you do what I say, not what I do. But we ought to walk so as they can see exactly where our foots are going and so that they can follow a clear pattern. But not just because, Don, not because I say follow me. I've got grandchildren, they might follow me most anywhere. But what I ought to be doing is saying, I want you to follow me when I'm following Christ. As I follow Christ, you follow after me. I wonder, do we have the courage to say to our young people, follow my example? Do we? I know I'm talking to the very finest people on the earth. But I think about this. Those of us who are older, the older Christians, can we say with confidence, I want the young people, the congregation where I'm a member, to follow my example? Sunday morning. What if they came to worship the same time the adults did, or some of the older adults? You know, get there in time for preaching. No, don't worry about Bible class. Well, I remember a time, I'm glad that I don't see this much anymore, but I remember a time when moms and dads would drop the kids off at Bible school and then come back later to worship. What kind of example is that? But you see, he's saying here that there is to be an example that can be clearly seen, an example that can be followed. We've already mentioned 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and verse number 6. This is what he says. He says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. What did he say? He said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, how? In much affliction. They began to follow the Lord. If you go on down in that first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, you'll find a good description of the Christian life. You'll find that they turn from idols to serve the true and living God and to properly wait for the coming of Christ. That's the life we ought to be living. Turning from the things of the world, serving God, and waiting properly for the Lord to return. Be like Paul. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. That means I have come out of the world. I am now servant of Christ, and I'm living my life waiting for the return of the Lord. That's what we ought to be showing our young people. Young people, you have to be an example. And I'm glad we've got some young folk in the audience this afternoon. Because you need to be thinking about the example that you're setting today. Because you know, it's always, I've said this a long time, it frightens me sometimes to think about the young people in congregations that look to the preacher and they look to him and they want to be like him many times. But you know what? There's a lot of times the preacher's looking at the young people. They're looking at the example that the young people are giving. You know, we need to be good examples to them, and they can be good examples to us. I never will forget the longest day I live. When we lived in Lawton, Oklahoma, there was a young lady. Her name was Jennifer. A pretty girl in high school. And she was selected to be the homecoming queen. Jennifer said, I'll accept that on one condition. You'll not require me to go to the prom because I'm not dancing. I'm not going. I'm not dressing. So, who would think she'd get elected? But she did. I'll tell you what. I don't know what exactly that did to me when I found out. It wasn't something she was going around talking about. But when I found out that we had a high school senior that would stand up and say, most people say, oh boy, what a great honor. She said, I'm not going to take it if you're going to ask me to do what everybody else is supposed to do. Do you know what really her only thing was? Her picture was in the yearbook that way, and she got to ride on an automobile around the football field, and that was about it. But she was homecoming queen, and she made a statement. And I appreciate her for it. And this very day, she is a fine Christian wife raising her children in that way. But the point is, she was an example to the congregation in Lawton, Oklahoma. She really was. To me and to other young people as well. In this, I want you to notice back into 1 Timothy chapter 4 with me. There are six specific things that are mentioned here concerning this. And if you come back there, in chapter 4 and verse number 12, he says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." And we don't have the time to go over all of those in detail. That would be a lesson in and of itself. But quickly, let me just go through these with you just for a second. First, he said you're to be an example in word. Well, I believe that has to do with the speech. The speech has to be guarded. Colossians 4, verse 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." Think about that, what we said a moment ago. He's going to come with the truth, but he's got to say it in the right way. His words, his speech. Then it talks about his conversation. That word means manner of life, his conduct, or his deportment. There's good deportment and there's bad deportment. In bad deportment, you can look at the word conversation. In Galatians 1, verse 13, Paul there is saying, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." There was a manner of life. There was a way that he was living. That was not good. But then, there in Philippians 1, verse 27, he says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." There's the bad and the good. He's saying to him, make sure that your deportment is that which becomes a Christian. Then you go to the word charity. He's to demonstrate love for his brethren. 1 Peter 1, verse number 22. Even to those who would persecute him. That's important in this study. If he goes back to a place like Thessalonica and people are persecuting, what is he to do? You still love them. Matthew chapter 5, verses 34 and 35. And then there's that word spirit. And it's my understanding and belief that this has reference to the inner urgency to do the Lord's work. Watch that. You're to have these things. Gentle, yes. Having the right motive, yes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. What does that kind of mindset do? Well, it seeks to save the souls of those who are lost. 1 Timothy 5 and verse number 21. The Bible here says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality." Going and making sure that you're concerned about the souls of all mankind. Not one particular group. Now what does that mean? That means, Timothy, when you go to a place and there are those who want to oppose you, teach them. Preach the gospel to them. Make sure you do it in the right way with the words. Make sure you live your life before them, but teach and preach the gospel, even to those who don't want to hear it. Like Stephen in Acts chapter 7. You know, when you think about what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You preach it when people will listen to it, and when people don't want to listen to it, you preach the Word. Why? Because that's your inner being. And I'm afraid many today don't have that inner feeling for lost souls. I'm afraid there are many today, I've even heard so-called gospel preachers talk about, you know, this is my profession. And they talk about it, and they carry it on in their lives, you know, like it's some other kind of profession. Understand, I know that it's a job we do. I understand that. But the point is, it's not my profession. I would do it whether I was paid for it or not. If no one's paying me to do that or not, I would do that. That's the point that he's making here. The inner being, inner person. You know, sometimes little ones have a way of sparking your mind to make you think about things. Just a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, church there, we were on Wednesday night. Our daughter-in-law had brought the boys, and Todd was working late. She had the little one, little Trey, and he was fussy, and so she said she was going to take him on home, and we would bring Travis home. Well, we started home, and Travis said, he said, Daddy wasn't here tonight because he had to work. And I said, out of my great wisdom, I said, Daddy ought to have a job like Papa's and be a preacher. And Travis said, well, Daddy had to work to pay for our bills. I said, well, that's what I was doing. He said, Papa, you get paid for that? But the point is, if it's something that we really feel, we're going to do that. And that's exactly what he's saying here. You've got to have that inner urgency to be effective. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in these areas. It comes down to faith. Of course, faith is learning and doing what God would have us do. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, Romans 10, verse 17. And then about purity, making sure that you're chaste, that you're clean, your quality of life is what it ought to be. Now, when we look at those particular things, then we go on down into verses 13 through 16. He says to him there, give attendance. Look at what he says there in verses 13 through 16. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, by the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed thyself unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He begins now to talk about, here are some things you need to give attention to. What did he say? To reading. Spend time reading the God's Word. Spend time looking. Isaiah 34, verse 6 said, seek ye out the book of the law of the Lord and read. What did Paul tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Spend time. Keep on doing that. He goes on to say, you need to be exhorting people to do God's will. And remember we said over here about this idea of age? Let no man despise thy youth. Make sure you come in there with truth, with a right frame of mind, and then you live it before them. Well, when you come back to this idea, to exhort. How are you going to exhort if people do not understand you're concerned about them? Now, listen carefully to what I'm about to say. We can stand in front of an audience and be right in what we say and wrong in how we say it. And people can read our hearts after a short period of time. If my presentation does not come from deep down inside of me because of my love for souls, people are going to know it. If I'm doing it for a paycheck, people are going to know that. It has to do with making sure that we're what we ought to be, striving to be right inside. This exhortation, exhorting people because of what we feel, what's down inside of us, to make sure the doctrine, of course, is right and proper. Ed moved faster than I intended for him to move. I want to come on down to the last part of this. I want to give just a minute the responsibility that we have to our youth. We've been talking about what Timothy was to be like, but let's think about what we need to be doing for our young people. We ought to be doing several things along the way for our young people. You know, God has used young people throughout the Bible for His purpose. We can look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Joseph, David. And people were brought to God because of the actions of young people. of the youth. And it was, as was said a little bit earlier, when Fred started on that, you know, preachers like to hear people say amen. I was wanting to say, Fred, slow down on that. That's part of my lesson. We need to train our young people. We need to have little Timothy classes and little classes for the girls. We ought to be involving them. Now, I'm talking about at this point in time, the little ones. I'm talking about the little bitty ones. Having those little fellows before services on Sunday night come up and lead a song, read a verse if they can, or whatever they can do. Get them used to being involved and feeling important in the church. The same thing is true with the little girls. There ought to be things they'll be taught and trained in things they can be doing. And then when they become Christians, what are we going to do with them? You see, if we have not, and this begins in the home, as Fred was talking about, it begins there in the training in the home, so that when they do become Christians, they're going to be able to help, to be involved. So many, brethren, so many, if I'm wrong about this, I know you'll tell me. So many times, you know what we do? We get our young people together on Saturday morning and put them out knocking doors. And there's nothing wrong with knocking doors, but there's sure not a lot of things they can see in the way of productivity, can they? But they're involved. I'm not taking that away. But what ought to happen, listen carefully, what ought to happen is some of us who are older ought to take some of these younger with us and go out and visit and do the work in benevolence, evangelism, and edification, rather than waiting till they get up, they get married, and then all of a sudden, and I'm going to quit after this, I promise. I hear sometimes people talk about, why are we losing our young people? And we better sit up and take notice, because in lots of cases, we are. But do you know why I think that is? Because we have not taught them to have their own faith. They have been depending upon mama and daddy and their faith. Dad says, this is what you're going to do. And everything is done in that area. Instead of developing a faith within them so that when they go off to college, they'll have an understanding and know the reasons why they do certain things and do not do other things. But we've got to develop in them their own faith. Sometimes I'm afraid that's left out. Train them. Families train them. Congregations train them. You know, it's a great resource that we have. We talk about our gross national product. We talk about in Kansas that great product out there. You know, that's the wheat. And in other areas, the greatest product that we hold in our hands is our young minds. And we ought to be developing them to serve God today. I appreciate your time this afternoon.